Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Refractive Thinker Radio Show, hosted by the award-winning and international best-selling author Dr. Cheryl Lentz, the academic entrepreneur. Meet the scholars of the award-winning doctoral anthology series, The Refractive Thinker, where we focus on getting doctoral research off the coffee table and into the hands of business owners who can benefit from the results. Join us each Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time for 30 minutes of thought-provoking radio designed to discuss emerging topics in higher education and business. We will meet today's industry thought leaders and college professors leading the way. Details can be found at www.refractivethinker.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Cheryl Lentz.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to 2016. Happy New Year. This is Dr. Cheryl Lentz. I am the academic entrepreneur, and we're starting off the season a little bit early this year, or today. Normally, our show is at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, but we needed a little bit of an earlier start today. I wanted to be able to welcome you to this new year and talk about the legacy of what you plan to achieve. We have talked about in the past about the ability to look at working our plan and then planning our work, or planning our work and working our plan. And the idea is looking at the what do you want to achieve before you ever get there. So if we start with an outcome-based approach, looking at what you want your legacy to be, then we can work backwards to create that plan, to create that strategy in order to achieve those results. Oftentimes I do an international seminar, and it's actually, I've got one coming up for the YMCA here in a couple of weeks. And the idea is this concept of legacy, of what meaning do we want to have for our life? Instead of simply working on ourselves or working on our business and flying by the seat of their pants, meaning we just kind of get up and we are firefighters most of the day, meaning we are reactive to what happens to us instead of being proactive in terms of planning. And I know sometimes, particularly if you're in customer service, the whole idea is to serve your clients. But you still have to have the idea of the difference between working on your business and working in your business. And for me, that was a difficult point to differentiate as a business owner. And so the idea is, as I'm looking to my first board of directors meeting, we have a new board of advisors that will be coming into place here starting in 2 weeks, actually. And one question they asked is, what do you want to do this year, and what do you want us as the board to help you do this year? And I thought that was a rather ingenious question, because it was definitely in line with what we're talking about today is, how do you know you're going to get there? How do you have a dream come true if you don't know what the dream is, if you don't have the steps? Because the board's job is implementation. The board's job is not creation, meaning I come up with the, here's what I think I want to do. Here are the objectives for the business this year. Here are the outcomes that, by the end of 2016 in December, when we're having this conversation of a debrief, of reviewing what we did, we want to see how close we were able to get, if not beyond where we thought we would be. But in order to get there, we have to have the measurable goals. And we've talked about this many, many times here in the Refractive Thinker Radio Show, of the idea of SMART goals. And most educators will teach these in their classrooms. They have to be specific, they have to be measurable, they have to be attainable, they have to be realistic, and they have to be timely. And so the idea is, instead of saying, well, I just want to have a radio show, the question is, what do we want to do on this radio show? We need to be more specific. We need to really drill down, because we want to look at what is that legacy piece that we want to leave behind. And so the idea we have is, we want to be thought-provoking radio. Every Tuesday morning, we want to give you at least a half an hour for you to go, I really want to think about some of that new doctoral research we're talking about, some of that new business research that we're talking about, and to look at how it might apply to me, apply to my situation, apply to my workplace, apply to my entrepreneurial space. And so the idea is looking at legacy. And I'm reminded in this presentation, and we're going to take you back a little bit, for those of you who may remember Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland has such an iconic message that I use all the time in my teaching. Is, remember when Alice comes to a fork in the road, And she looks up in the tree, and she looks up at the Cheshire Cat, and she asks him, which way do I go? And the Cheshire Cat purrs, of course, and has this the canary type of look on his face, where he offers one of the most iconic responses known to me anyway, that says, if you don't know where you're going, any path will do. Now think about that statement and the fact that it wasn't the Cheshire's cat to know which fork in the road Alice should take. Instead, he was looking at the idea, well, if you didn't have a plan and you didn't know where you were going to end up, then it really doesn't matter which road that you take. And so how interesting of a lesson it is when we look at the idea of legacy, of where do we want to be, and then we work backwards. Because if you just start out traveling, you may not end up where you had hoped to go because you simply had no plan to get there. I know it's very interesting for me because for those of you who know me well, I have no sense of direction. I can pretty much tell you up and down, and that may pretty much be it. And it's going to be funny that when we look at this idea, you know, at the end of the line, everybody's going to have a Cheryl Got Lost story. I mean, it's just hysterically funny. And so before I ever leave the house, I have a plan. And most of the time it's my GPS, and I just plug in the numbers, and the computer decides which way I should go, but I gave it the destination. I say, as when I have a meeting, here is the address, here is the city, here is the location, and what are the routes I want to take? Because it's not just as easy as typing in an address, but I have some choices. I can use only highways. I can use the fastest route, the shortest route, no highways. I have a good friend of mine that doesn't do highways, so she takes all the back streets, and even though it might take twice as long, she's okay with that. So there are very specific directions and guidelines that we as the operator, we as the person being in control, have to have that idea of, well, where do we want to end up? And then we work backwards and looking at a plan to get there. Because as the Cheshire Cat says, is if you don't know where you want to go, then it doesn't matter what road you take. Because you're not having a plan or a destination, you're just kind of wandering around. And so it's a very prophetic message for us, particularly as we start out 2016. And Happy New Year to all of you as you look to, what do you want to accomplish this year? And I do an exercise in my classroom that's a bit interesting with regard to this topic. And I used to call it the obituary exercise. Now I call it the legacy exercise. But use which one speaks to you. Because I know some people have a trouble with dealing with a mortality issue. But the whole concept is when I was my junior year in college many, many years ago at the University of Illinois, I remember one of my professors doing the same exercise of having us write our obituary. And the whole point was, where do we want to end up? When it's all over, what will you have wanted to accomplish? And it was kind of an interesting question because a junior in high school or in college, what are you, all of maybe 20 years old? I hadn't really done a whole lot yet. And so I didn't have a whole lot to write. I mean, I had some of the accomplishments I had with salutatorian in junior high and valedictorian in high school and some other awards that I had earned along the way. But there really wasn't, in my opinion, anything substantive. Anything, you know, I hadn't solved world hunger. I hadn't really, you know, written any of my books. I hadn't done really a whole lot yet. But it gave me pause to be able to think of, well, what do I want people to write at the end? And it's kind of interesting because I've done this at every, or completed this exercise at every degree that I had. And then again, at my master's level, and I had a little bit more accomplished then. And then at my pro level. And even then, most of my world, as I look back on it, really started to flower and to open and to expand once I completed my doctoral journey. And I've done so much since then. I mean, I'm a 27-time published author now with 3 more books on the way, 3 faculty awards, 16 writing awards. I mean, there's an awful lot that I've done that if something should happen tomorrow, I would like to think that that obituary, whomever might write about me, would have some substance in there. We have some, Dr. C left the world a little better than she found it. You know, it's one of those, as a doctoral student, we look at, well, what are you going to add to the body of knowledge? And as scholars, we stand on the head and shoulders of those who have come before us, and then we'll add our piece, and then others will stand on our shoulders, and the circle of academic life continues. And so now I look at that, continuing that exercise. I typically think about this again, and I'm doing this presentation for the YMCA here at the end of the month with that same type of theme to it. And it all comes down to that Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland is asking a question, but expecting an external answer. And if we look back at another iconic movie, The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy had the red shoes from the beginning of the movie nearly, but she had tools that she didn't yet know how to use. And so all of us, I believe, have the capacity, have the potential, but it's inside of us. An internal locus of control, an internal hygiene factor, an internal motivational aspect, that asking someone which way do we go is a very limiting concept. Because imagine if the Cheshire Cat would have given her an answer to take the left fork or the right fork, then the Cheshire Cat would have been responsible for her destiny. Unless the Cheshire Cat, which many coaches may already know, knew the destination and was simply helping Alice along her path of nudging her. Because sometimes, I would say oftentimes, we know which way we need to go. We know which way we should go. We know which way we'd like to go. However, sometimes it takes a lot of courage to go those directions. And so asking someone else, for example, I am a doctoral mentor. And the reason I'm a mentor is because I have done what my students are trying to do. And it's so much easier if you follow in the successful footsteps of someone who has done what you want to do, because it's far easier to follow in their footsteps than for you to blaze a trail and create your own. And so this part is, if you look at the idea of Alice as being completely in charge of her destiny, then the answer she asked the cat is really a moot point. Because unless the Cheshire Cat knows her, the true answer lies in, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What is the destination? What is your legacy? Where do you want to end up? And then perhaps someone else can help you on your journey. I mean, I often have business coaches for the last, five years now. And part of that, and I still have my doctoral mentor who's part of the mix as well, but part of that is having people who are a sounding board, an opportunity to process some of the ideas when you're trying to answer those questions. I'm reading a book right now called The E-Myth Mystery by Michael Gerber, and it's amazing to be able to look at some of the things, and I remember it because one of my business coaches is with the Laurel Langmuir Group, and it's amazing to be able to look at how much of working on business is working on yourself. And the same questions that Alice asked the Cheshire Cat are the same questions I asked my business coach, and the same answers they gave me. Well, I can tell you and advise you only if I know where you want to go, and where you want to go is up to you. And that to me is incredible power, but incredible fear as well. And the fear part comes into play when, how do you trust yourself, in other words, to be able to see, do you really believe that where you're going is where you're supposed to be? And having the courage to be able to take that first step, regardless of what the outcome might be. Now, many people are afraid of failure, and many people are afraid of success, actually. And the question is, what if we get it wrong? Well, then we pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and start all over again and learn from the failures that we have, learn from the journey we've been on, so that when we come to that new fork in the road, we have courage, we have conviction, we have confidence to be able to say, here's where I want to go, here's where I think the path is most appropriate to get there. And then we can ask the Cheshire Cat. But the Cheshire Cat is merely a mirror. And as a Cheshire Cat, I love it. If you don't know where you're going, any path will do. And so as we begin this new year, we have that opportunity to think about writing our obituary, to think about writing our legacy. What do we want people to say about us, about our business, about our time here on earth and what we have accomplished? And then we can work backwards to be able to, if you wanted to solve world hunger, for example, and I know many people, I was watching the Ellen DeGeneres show for an old episode, and they were working on water.org, which is a project with Matt Damon, about the amount of people that die every day simply from the lack of clean water. And we in America are a bit complacent, I would think, is because it's so much easier for us just to turn on the tap and there is water, or to go and buy our bottled water or our filtered water or whatever it is that the access to water is there. We don't have to worry every day about access to water and our very survival that depends on it. And yet, even in 2015, the most plentiful, supposedly, element on Earth is water. And yet, 800 million people, according to the show and this project of water.org, do not have access to clean water on a daily basis. So the idea of what is your legacy? Do you want to do something for which you will be remembered? I mean, I look at some of the elements of some of the things that I have done, and the Refractive Thinker is one of my legacies, is the fact it was created as a solution to a problem, and now it has taken off in ways I never even imagined. To be able to have that ability to look at, well, what have I done? What have I done that's different? What have I added to the greater body of knowledge? And the Refractive Thinker and the Pincero Press and the awards we've had and the careers we've launched, it's not so much as the accomplishments and the awards on paper, but what have we done that have changed people's lives? There are over 120 of us here as part of the Refractive Thinker community. And many of us are professional researchers, professional mentors, professional academicians, and professional question askers. We ask, well, what if? And why not? And could we? And our goal is to be able to think of how the world works and to go and see if we're right. Because if we look at the idea of a law of gravity, we already know that if you drop something, it's going to fall on this earth every time and twice on Sunday. That's a law. It's going to happen that way all the time. A theory is, this is what we think is going on until proven otherwise. And so we will make a hypothesis. We will pose a, here's how we think it works, and then we will go in to see if we're right. And so the idea as part of the doctoral journey is not only asking questions and trying to find the answers and being prepared for all possible answers, but part of that journey is working on ourselves as well. And that's the biggest piece I didn't understand when it came down to looking at a business coach. And I would say, and I know Laurel would agree in all the books she's done and the coaches that I've worked with and the programs that I've been part of with her, is most of my business challenges is in my head, is in my heart. There's nothing to do within my businesses. You first have to get over your psychology issues, your issues with failure, your issues with productiveness versus busyness, your issues of sequencing, knowing what to do in the right order, in the right wheel, and having the ability to try. Because every business is different. What works for Pepsi isn't going to work for Coke. What worked for Coke may not work for Pepsi. What worked in 2005 may not work again, or in 2007 or 2010 or any of these other aspects that we have. And so the idea is, what are you wanting to accomplish? And if it's simply to make money, well, you can do that. The question is, most people find out that it's far more, that money is a tool. Money is an outcome. Money is something that facilitates the lifestyle. Because think about, you know, would you go to work if you weren't paid? Many of us would say, heck no, because the idea is we want the money the job provides because we want the lifestyle that the money provides. And so a job sometimes is a means to an end to be able to facilitate the life we want to lead. The challenge becomes is that that's an awful lot of time we're spending if we look at the traditional work week of 40 hours a week. To be able to facilitate that outcome. I remember living in Seattle, and it was a very unique opportunity because people didn't live to work in Seattle like they did in Chicago and New York. And they didn't let their how they make income define who they are. It was a means to an end. It was information that and a way that they could make money so that they could have the life they wanted, which was on weekends or after work, because they worked to live. And I looked at that idea of a legacy going, well, isn't that what many of us want to do? I didn't necessarily create the Refractive Thinker as a way and a means of making money, although it has. I looked at it as a solution of, I don't like the way the publishing world currently operates, and I really don't like the ability that everyone tends to, well, that's just the way it is. Well, it's the way it is because no one has thought to do something different, and we at the Refractive Thinker have done many things very different as a reaction to, a solution to, a response to, as a way of creating something going, well, why is it that we've done this way exactly, and couldn't we find a better way? And new creation is often the ability that generates why people will have a want to do a company is that they'll do a company because they're doing something just a little bit different than their competitor. They're offering a different service. They're offering a different tweak, a different advantage, a different competitive option, a different solution. And so many of us think of the idea of buying a drill. Most people don't buy a drill because they want to own a drill. They own a drill because they want the hole the drill provides. The drill is merely a tool, a method, a process to achieve the final outcome, the hole. So think about it is, what is your legacy? I can't imagine that from all of the people that I've talked to as I have gained additional trips around the sun, that it is more of what people don't do that they regret than of what they did do when the end comes. And I don't want to have, you know, the 6 feet under to have the ability to say, well, gosh, I wish I would have, could have, should have. And so last year and this year I've made a concerted effort to be able to do things on my bucket list because I want those experiences. I want that legacy of being able to, yes, I went to the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. Yes, I went to the horse race because I'd never been to a live horse race, and they only do it during the state fair here in Albuquerque. And so I went to Friday afternoon for a couple of hours, and now I want to go to the Kentucky Derby. My goal for this year is I want to get the Rose Bowl next year. And there are certain things that it's not a matter of the money. It's a matter of wanting to have these experiences, wanting to add these as part of my legacy and the ability to, as a result of improving myself and improving my experiences, I have the ability to look at how my experiences, how my journey can perhaps help others. For example, I had one of my clients, former students, call me the other day, and it was almost eerie, the situation she was asking me about, because I had just been thinking about it and had already spent the last few years experiencing something she was now, that was a bit new to her. And I was kind of smiling to myself, I don't know if she could hear it, realizing, going, all right, now I understand why I needed to travel that journey, because now I could have the wisdom that that journey offered me as part of my legacy to pass on to another, and in this case, one of my graduates from a few years ago, who still keeps in touch every time she runs into a challenge, she will call me. But most often, it's a struggle she's having she cannot yet see, because the guide of a mentor or as a teacher is to help you see what's already there. And I became a mirror, partially because I had experienced the same issues, very similar to what she was dealing with, and so I could recognize in her and that which I had recognized in myself. And so it was an amazing opportunity that I just kind of sat back and smiled, because it wasn't a pleasant journey, I will tell you, but it now was a journey that's going to be able to serve others in the wisdom that I gained. And remember, a mentor, in my opinion, simply has to be one step ahead of whomever that they are mentoring. And they have to know and be able to see what we might not yet be able to see in ourselves. And this was a perfect way that it happened, just in this perfect way to be able to have that experience be the teacher that I needed it to be. And because of that wisdom, and remember, to learn how to be a teacher is to be able to teach something to someone else, and that often solidifies our learning. And I'm always amazed the fact that, again, sometimes I'm barely one step ahead of my students or my clients. But so long as I am able to translate my wisdom and my experiences into lessons that I can help them shorten their learning curve. And so she was kind of smiling. She goes, Daxi, you really do get this. I'm like, only because I've experienced it myself, and I've experienced it a bit ahead of schedule from where you are, because I'm a little bit older than she is. And because of that, I was able to help mirror her experience and share some of the lessons that might alleviate some of the hurt that she's dealing with, to let her know that she's not the only one that has experienced this, that there are some techniques I have found, and only recently, I might add, to be able to facilitate and to navigate such uncharted waters for me. And so when I look at some of the experiences I have, I look at that component of legacy. There are times when I look to the Cheshire Cat a bit more, rhetorical, if you will, of a, well, which way do I go? knowing that the Cheshire Cat will smile and remind me of a, it's not up to him. If I don't know where I'm going, then the answer is irrelevant. And at some point, I'm going to have to make a decision, or I can make no decision and simply stay at the fork in the road. And many people do that because sometimes that's easier. It's better to know where you stand than to brave the courage of the future, of what it is that you might want to look at and what lies ahead, because we don't know. There is no guarantee. Even if the Cheshire Cat had offered me an answer, the answer might have been something that was inappropriate or I wasn't ready for, and only we know the answers. Or if we're wrong or if we're not ready, then again, just like the song says, we simply pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and start all over again. So as we bring another show to a close, as we start the year 2016, I want to introduce you to this concept of legacy, of being able to look at what do you want this year to hold for you. When we come and talk again as we get to the end of the year in December, will you have accomplished what you set out to do? Will you have taken the path that led you to the outcome you were hoping for because you knew exactly where you needed to go, and yet you had mentors and helpers along the way to be able to help ensure that you arrived at that destination? It may have not been the path you would have expected. It may have been a lot of detours, a lot of bumps and peaks and valleys, but the point was is you knew exactly what the destination, regardless of the process. And we've all heard that life is a journey, not a destination. But we still have to have a general idea of where we're going to go, even if we change our mind. These legacy exercises that I've done since my undergraduate, my master's, and then again in my doctorate program, and I try to do about once a year, particularly when I'm asked to speak on the subject, I tend to get a little melancholy. And I tend to look at all of the places I've been to find out, was it where I intended to go? Sometimes. Was it how I intended to get there? Usually never. But it was still having a plan. Remember, plan your work, then work your plan. And even if the plan changes, because I look at all of my exercises and I've kept them, they're in a book somewhere. And oftentimes I didn't often accomplish everything I had set out to do, but it was part of the learning process. It was part of the journey that I had to experience. And some of those journeys were not terribly pleasant, but they did give me answers that just recently, as I showed you in the example, helped others. And so it helped me kind of smile a little bit knowing that that painful journey was really and truly in service to others. And so when you're going through that fork in the road, that moment in time, that defining moment, that crossroads, you're going to have the ability to look at deep inside the red shoes from Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, if you will, is to give yourself permission to explore. Give yourself permission to dig deep and to be able to look at some of the things that you do and the reasons you do them. Because many of us have to have courage. The process we're going through is inside. Seldom is it external. Most of the time, we often have the answers we seek. It's just the journey and the process and the peaks and valleys are the ability to help sharpen the stone. I mean, think about a stone in a brook. Think about that very smooth stone because it's had, you know, thousands of years potentially of water that's been shaping it, caressing it, affecting it, impacting it to become that shiny stone, not that jagged edge. And it's merely a way of allowing the ability for us to look at the Cheshire Cat and know definitively exactly which way, or at least have the courage to choose a way, even if we have to come back to that very same point and choose again. But looking at that, understand that resolutions that we make here in 2016, those SMART goals that we have, we need to look at it as the purpose of what is the legacy that we leave behind. What is it that we hope to achieve for the few years that we're here on Earth? And how might our lessons, our wisdom, our lessons learned serve those who may follow in our path? So good things for thought-provoking radio on this Tuesday morning. Let me again wish you a very happy New Year as we begin our first week, many of us back to the office, back to school. And my name is Dr. Cheryl Lentz. I am known as the Academic Entrepreneur. If you want to have information about me, check out my website, drcherylentz.com. And we look forward to having you join us on our journey as we explore thought-provoking radio for higher education and business as we go forward in 2016. So thank you for joining us this morning, and start thinking about what your legacy is and those wonderful gifts you'll leave behind. Until next time, I'm Dr. Cheryl Lentz. Keep thinking your way to success. Goodbye.